know it wasn't.
That was okay, I think.
Give
okay,
us some credit.
End, and my end, all three of us were off. I don't know where you are on your end.
Wow.
The Skype delays are a little funky.
My end is doing just fine.
I mean, I'm picking you guys up pretty cleanly, I think. Yeah.
No, we,
I
haven't seen like, y'all's we were ends all like a while, half but... a second off on that start on my end. It was like atrocious sounding.
Oh.
It's the most cacophonous noise I've heard.
So you
since
love that
I watched since I watched The Night Before Christmas last night.
Poor Nick.
So we are going where this podcast has never gone before. Boldly, I might add.
Yeah.
We are doing this from three separate locations. Yep. Which means, Nick, you know what this means. We're giving Adam something else to fuck up.
What makes you think I'm going to fuck this up? What if I ever fucked anything up?
Your track record of fucking up everything involving this podcast. As if his track record wasn't poor enough, we're giving Adam a record button.
I can do this. I'm technically savvy.
So
do you mean technically savvy or technically savvy?
I'll let you figure that one out, Nick.
It's all about the emphasis. We are all at our homes. Nick is in sunny Ohio. Is it sunny out there?
It's raining, but
okay.
No. Better than here.
I can go outside. I mean.
Adam and I are being pummeled by Winter Storm Ezekiel. Is that right?
It's Ezekiel. No,
I think I saw that one. No, I saw that one. I saw that porno. Ezekiel pummels. Yeah. Yeah, I saw that.
Biblical porn.
That
big market.
You took that to a place I didn't want that to go. Okay.
Ezekiel parts Moses' Red Sea.
Dude, well, there's some sick shit in the Bible.
We better clarify on YouTube that this content is not made for children.
Have you ever read Leviticus? Oh my God.
Have you ever read Leviticus?
Yeah, I have.
What?
You're the Leviticus of this podcast, Adam. That's my take.
What does that mean?
I'm not sure. I haven't read it. So it's really snowy out. We've been coordinating this all weekend. It just so happens this storm pummeled us at the usual time we record this podcast. So we watched a film from the comfort of our own homes, bundled up, safe and secure, and now we're recording this on a three-way phone call, so we'll see how this goes today.
Yeah. Should I have done like a snap, you know, to sync up the audio, because someone's got to edit this shit together.
That's right, that would be me, and that would be...
Well, that's usually what the good afternoon is for.
I guess so.
We'll see how that goes.
But it was wrong, it was all like screwed up and whatnot, according to Nick, so I don't know.
It's going to be a fun 6 hours later this afternoon.
You know, like I always say when it comes to this stuff, Adam, not my problem.
All right. So, fuck you, Nico.
So,
have fun.
Thanksgivings, how were they? I feel like we haven't done this in a while.
What, talked about holiday?
Talked about us. Just, have been on a podcast together.
Chat.
It's been a while. We haven't met up in how many, what is it, 2 weeks now?
Yeah.
Yeah, we took last week off to be thankful and... To spend time with our kin.
Not be sinners, you know?
Well, that's, you know, speak for yourself. yeah, no, Thanksgiving was, it was nice. Quiet. I stayed with Michaela's family. Mm-hmm. We had some wonderful food. A nice Amish turkey, 20 pounder.
An Amish turkey? What's an Amish turkey?
Doesn't use any electricity.
Okay.
You have to dig a big hole, fill it with coals, and cook it outside in the backyard. Just bury it for 2 days, and then it's ready Thanksgiving morn.
You let the turkey out the night before to go wild and live its life to the fullest before you kill it.
Before you slaughter it, yeah.
Oh, man.
You tie its little wattle in a weird bow. And
no, so here's this weird thing. So, yeah, so an Amish turkey, it's a turkey raised by the Amish that they sell around Thanksgiving time to fund their... weird little lives. I'm not worried about offending Amish people in this podcast because, you know,
they ain't listening.
I don't think they're listening. Yeah. So, I will say, there's some weird stuff with the Amish out here. They have, Amish like puppy mills, which are, some are better than others. Obviously some are actually puppy mills and some I'm just using that word cause I'm a dick, but, they like will raise like hundreds of puppies like in terrible conditions and like sell them. And
how did you discover this?
Well, it's Michaela's mother adopted a dog recently, and they were looking for dogs, and they came across some of these. But what's also weird is that they have websites and videos. The Amish do. And okay. they also have websites to buy Amish turkeys.
Do they run the websites themselves?
Well, yeah, that's what I'm trying to figure out. And I was thinking, no, they must have somebody who does it for them. But
they hire a web assistant on Indeed?
Is that I don't what know they do? Where they hire them. They'll send a letter? Send a raven?
This is incredible investigative journalism.
Here's my question.
That's a great point.
Well, this is the thing. It's like,
well, Michaela's mother insists that they run the websites themselves. I don't remember her reasoning, but she had pretty sound reasoning.
Then they're fake Amish people, right?
Yeah, they ain't Amish, bro.
Yeah, part of what they were saying is maybe we don't really understand what the Amish culture is, really. Maybe it's not just no electricity. Maybe it's just the way of life it needs to be. I don't know. It seems funky to me.
The way of life needs to not involve electricity. I'm pretty sure that's the rule.
There's some funny business going on.
You got sold some fake-ass Amish turkey, bro. You got bamboozled.
I didn't do anything.
No, this is my question, is that how many of the Amish do you think abide by that rule? I think it's just for show, for us, for whatever reason.
I think it's exclusively for episodes of 60 Minutes, where they do like an expose on the Amish, like how the other side lives.
Yeah, I think it's like a marketing ploy to sell like cabinets and stuff. They have like Amish like tables they sell that are wicked expensive.
I've seen Amish commercials.
Yeah. So they're full of shit. I'm calling
out
the Amish.
I'm wondering if the Rumspringa thing is like while you're out for that year, you just become like a marketing manager. Mm. And they just trade off.
All right. So it says it is acceptable within Amish communities to use some limited forms of electricity, such as battery power for the lights and some machinery. But I don't think the internet would fall under that purview. I don't know.
Yeah, but maybe Reddit falls under the purview. I don't know, you know? Yeah. Maybe they like draw the line there.
They're
like,
exclusively on 4chan.
Hmm. Right.
They want the unfiltered access to
Amish
the web.
Amish-chan.
I was just going to say, there's something about the rawness of Reddit that seems appealing to the Amish.
Right.
Yeah, it's like basic HTML.
Yeah.
They use the old version of Reddit. They don't use the new version.
Okay.
You know?
I see that.
They still use Ask Jeeves as their search engine, too.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
That's their thing. I mean, the thing is, like, why is electricity... I mean, obviously, all this is proving is that we know nothing about the Amish culture. But, like, are they afraid of technology or specifically electricity?
I think it's technology.
Because technology goes back as far as
If they have carts and buggies, the wheel is technology.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what I mean. So, like, where do you draw the line at technology?
I think there's a year. I think it's, like... Okay. Industrial Revolution, like 1880s or whatever. They're like, nope. None of that. No smoke.
No smoke. I just think the Amish don't even know what they're talking about at the end of the day. You think they really understand their own way of life?
can we go visit an Amish village?
Yes. There are plenty out here.
Yeah. There's some in Pennsylvania too.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Down.
Let's meet halfway. Let's do a pod from Amish land.
What, do we just show up?
Yeah.
We show up, we interview them, we do the whole thing.
I think they'd kick us out. I think they'd be like...
No, I think they talk to us. They're friendly people. It's not like that one island off the coast of frickin' Australia or whatever. Where like
New Zealand? That one?
No.
Are you referring to, what, that? I think I know exactly the island he's talking about, where it's like everyone who's ever gone there, if they're
has
like
died.
A cast... Has died because the indigenous people just want to, you know, kill you and eat you or something.
Yes, I forget what that island is, but it's like it's the only part of like the world that's completely uncivilized, but they're protecting it.
Well, there's like videos of like helicopters flying overhead, and you can see the people down there, and they're just shooting arrows up at the helicopters,
exactly.
Trying to take them down.
But this guy went
what
over there.
What would they do if they shot down a helicopter? It's like a dog chasing a car. It's like Heath Ledger when he was the Joker talking about being a dog chasing a car.
I see them salvaging the helicopter and completely cultivating that technology and then becoming the most advanced civilization on the planet.
One helicopter.
One helicopter.
Laser guns.
Yes. Precisely.
This is the... it's off the coast of India, I guess. But the Indian government like protects them. The Sentinels, the North Sentinels. That's what they are.
That's what. Yep, you're right.
But they're like protecting them because it's like a cool social experiment. I think that's really what it is. There's no reason why we shouldn't bomb the shit out of these people.
So what if they tried to leave the island? Then would we have precedent
I think we'd have problems. But I don't think they want to leave the island, and I don't think anybody wants to go there. So it's one of like those cool little isolated locations in the world.
Just be warned, if you go there, you are going to die.
Well, there was a fucking idiot who, I don't know if he was a YouTuber or what he was. He was a missionary worker.
Oh, no.
Just like a YouTuber.
Right. Oh, God. John Chow was the guy's name, and he like went over there to like bring peace, and didn't end so well. They shot him with bow and arrows, and I think they ate him. So there you go. Okay. The North
That's
Sentinels.
That's what happens.
That's what happens, Larry.
Larry, you fucking moron.
That's what happens when you fuck a man in the ass, Larry. All right, let's do it. Anything else from the weekend? Anything we want to catch up on? Twin Peaks thoughts? Fleeting Twin Peaks thoughts?
Oh my God, Twin Peaks is
something. I only have Twin Peaks thoughts. Night and day. Oh boy. I'm done with Twin Peaks. I was going to say that, so I'm completely
done. I'm
getting
there.
Yeah.
I was, you know, when I went to the movie theater yesterday to watch, or 2 days ago, to watch the movie we're talking about next week.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully.
I was tempted to stay for a... Yeah, well, I was tempted to stay for a second... second showing to watch Ford v Ferrari.
Oh yeah,
I really want to see it for some reason.
There's a bunch of movies out that I want to see. Honestly, it's been a good latter half of the year.
Knives Out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know anything about Knives Out.
It's by the guy who made The Last Jedi.
And Looper.
You mean
Ryan?
Yeah, you mean Ryan Johnson? Why are you saying the guy who I know who Ryan Johnson is? I was confused. You made me second guess myself here. Ryan Johnson. You could just say Ryan Johnson.
I'm sorry. I'm questioning these people that you usually don't know, Nick.
No, but I know Ryan. Okay, you were on my Facebook. There was a whole big debate recently.
There was.
Yeah, I know.
So I.
Oh, I added to it.
I posted something about basically The Last Jedi being a good movie. That was it.
Yeah.
It was
Which,
something
by
I
the
shared.
Way, by the way, by the way, an uncontroversial take.
It should be, right?
Uncontroversial. Did you do this on Thanksgiving? Were you in the mood to like fight with relatives? So
no,
you, like,
so I just it wasn't even I posted it. I shared it. I shared something.
Yeah.
And it became a big thing.
I need to see
and
this.
mostly one person who strongly disagrees and everyone else being like, no, it was a good movie, and a big fight. Just like 30 comments.
Happy Thanksgiving, kids.
I had several people message me directly and be like, man, that guy really does not like The Last Jedi. And I was like, listen, man, it happens. Don't, you know, I mean, look, everyone's entitled to their opinion. It's
sure.
Fine.
No.
Last Jedi is a fantastic, incredible movie, the best Star Wars movie ever made, but.
Not everyone is entitled to their opinion in this case. Some of the comments being thrown around were that the room is better. In a sense,
yeah, the conversation got really weird,
and I'm like, "That's when I had to chime in." I'm like, "Whoa, whoa, 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 okay."
No, I will say he's my friend, and I know how he.
Can we call him out by name? Or are we not doing that?
I don't want to do that. No.
Okay.
He's my friend. I know how he is and everything, and he is sort of prone to hyperbole at times. I don't think he really actually believes the room is better, but I also think that he will not back down from that point.
Mm-hmm.
Because he made it. Even though he made it in a hyperbolic gesture, he's not going to concede and say, oh, well, it was being hyperbolic. He's going to double down.
Yeah.
So that's why the argument just takes off.
It's the personalities.
Yeah.
So that's fair.
Look, everyone
you know,
that believes The
fun.
Last Jedi is bad is objectively wrong.
Well, and I truly believe that this next movie coming out is going to be bad.
Listen, really? I will not enter the film with that notion.
No, I'm not doing that either.
I don't really care about Star Wars, so it's not going to affect me one way or the other. But I just think I have a hunch that they're going to be safe. I think with episode 8, they like dipped their toes in the water and they didn't like the feedback they got. And oh no, so they're going to play it safe again. Mm-hmm. Just like episode 7, which I thought was incredibly too safe.
Nick, are you doing Mandalorian?
I watched 2 episodes of The Mandalorian, and I found that it was just a very bad show to watch week to week.
Yes.
That
is correct.
It's a bad show.
That is correct.
Really, I despised waiting every week to watch it. It was too short. Not enough happened. And I'm just like, I don't care about it enough to wait every week. So when it's done, I'm just going to binge it in like a couple days and move on.
Yeah, the show is very bingeable. I mean, obviously, like, it's Star Wars. So if you're going to make any show a week-to-week show, Star Wars would be the way to do it. Cause,
but, you know, if they wanted to really do, like, a week-to-week show that people were going to talk about and look forward to every week, it needs to be an hour-long, more complex characters. It can't just be guy with mask, Baby Yoda. Like, it needs to be a little more substantive than that, I think.
I do love the runtime, though, because I'm getting very overwhelmed by these hour-long shows.
Sure.
I'm just saying,
if Disney's ploy was for Disney Plus to have a strong show that people are going to talk about week-to-week, I don't know if The Mandalorian was the right choice.
I think
for
that's
that.
Probably right. Yeah.
Yeah, because I was going to say, I can disagree a little bit because I don't think that TV shows necessarily need to be that hour length. Because I've talked about this with Nico before, where it's like sitting down and committing to like a really hard hitting show for an hour can be a bit much.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Yeah, especially I had that feeling with Game of Thrones a lot. But
I believe every television show should be a half hour long, yeah. Regardless like, of genre. I want a half hour all the time.
Well, when I was watching Ash versus Evil Dead, I'm like, okay, this is it. This is exactly what it
should
be. Oh,
that was a half hour, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was perfect. I couldn't imagine it being any better. So,
you know what I kind of like, though?
Twin Peaks can be 2 hours. I don't care.
What I love about the internet, like, I think of YouTube, but I also think of Louis C.K.'s show that I'm already forgetting the name of.
Louis or Horace and Pete?
Horace and Pete. Thank you.
Yeah.
That's the one I met. Horace and Pete. I love that things can just be inconsistent lengths.
Yeah, I like that.
And I
too.
Wish, you know, I wish that the, you know, these people who've been making movies and TV shows forever, they can't get their heads out of their ass. And in their head, they're like, it has to be 20 minutes every week or it has to be 45 minutes. You know, these people, you're on Netflix. Just do whatever you want. End it when it's right.
Yeah.
And I wish they would write the shows in that way. Like, I don't, you know, think about how fun this is. You're watching The Mandalorian. It's a 20-minute episode, 20-minute episode, 30-minute episode. And then 1 week, they drop a 45-minute episode out of nowhere. You know?
Well, the cool thing about Horace and Pete is that you didn't know when it was going to end either.
You didn't know anything about it.
Yeah, which was brilliant. It was just dropped cold, and all you had was the episode length.
Mm-hmm.
You had no sense of direction. It dropped by surprise. It's just like, oh, Louis C.K. has a new TV show. Go watch it.
Right.
Yeah, for sure.
And, you know, I think that's another strategy. So I get what you're saying. It doesn't need to be an hour long, but my point is I think it needs to be more substantive.
Perhaps.
Than what The Mandalorian is. I mean, Grant, I also want to clarify, I've only seen two episodes, so I don't know if it gets crazier, but from what I watched, it kind of almost seemed like a Monster of the Week kind of, like, ew, what shenanigans is he going to get into this week? It seemed a little disconnected from the first episode to the second,
yes.
And I don't know if it continued in that trend.
I know what you mean. I'll say episode 3 gets a little more serialized.
Okay.
A little more.
Yeah.
Episode 4 is back to what you were talking about, though. And also, you can tell, and this is not always a good thing. Sometimes it is, sometimes it's not. But Jon Favreau has clearly gotten a green light from Disney to just make as many seasons as he wants. So he knows this going in. A lot of shows, when they make a first season, they don't know if they'll ever make a second season. So they put everything out there. They put all the cards on the table, and they, you know, and so there's a lot more urgency to each episode.
But the question of is The Mandalorian going to be successful is not a question, because
good point.
It's the only show on Disney Plus that that's it. I mean, to be honest, and Disney Plus was advertising out the. I literally had to block Disney Plus on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram because I was seeing only their ads.
Yep,
I blocked them because I didn't want to see their fucking ads anymore.
Right.
Yeah.
So. It was never a question that The Mandalorian would be successful. Jon Favreau is, he knows what he's doing. He's very good director, very safe director for Disney to choose.
Clearly likes Star Wars a lot, too. Clearly is really into Star Wars.
Yeah.
But he's definitely taken his sweet ass time because he knows he's got a blank check.
And also, let's be honest, Baby Yoda was invented to sell toys. Like, that's
Yeah.
I'm over Baby Yoda. I'm over it.
Right.
I'm very confused by Baby Yoda. I made a mention of that. I just like, what is this?
What are you confused by? Oh, because you haven't watched it yet. What are you confused by?
Did you see the article, Did Yoda Fuck? That was the name of an article by, I believe, Esquire. I could be wrong. But the question was, Did Yoda Fuck?
I'm confused why people are reacting to Baby Yoda at all. It's like, who cares?
Because Yoda is the only one of his species, and according to the Jedi Order, he cannot have sexual relations.
Wait a minute. He's Yoda, and he's small. What don't you get about that?
I get that. Yes, and that's where the conversation ends.
No, he's Yoda, and he's a baby.
The Mandalorian takes place after episode 6.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So people are like, where did he come from? That's all it is.
No, I think Yoda fucks. I think that's correct. I think that's right, Yoda's kid. Now, separate note, though, what do you not get about the hysteria surrounding Baby Yoda?
Like, why is there hysteria? It's a Baby Yoda.
Because he's Yoda and he's tiny. That's why.
And he's cute as fuck.
He's so adorable. I'm still sick of him, but he's adorable. No, I'm not sick of Baby Yoda. I'm sick of the Baby Yoda memes.
Yeah.
I am. You know what? Same. I am over memes. I'm living in a post-meme culture. I know all y'all are still, you know, doing your meme thing. I'm over it. I'm like the reverse Amish. I've moved past the memes.
You're over the memes just now?
Yeah, I'm over it. I'm over memes in general. I am going to live my life meme free.
Jesus, man.
You're sick
slow.
Of viral, shareable content?
I'm over it. I'm out. I'm out on memes.
No, you know what it is? You know what it is? You're sick of the mainstream memes. You want those niche memes.
Oh, yeah.
I hate niche. Well, that's hipster. I hate hipster shit, though. I'm out on both. Don't meme me. Let it be known right now. I'm practicing a life without memes.
I want Nico to embrace hipster culture so bad.
No meme December.
More than anything.
Yeah. Never. Are you kidding? Never. Could you imagine if I just came in here with some flannel? Got a vinyl record collection? Are you serious?
I'll be back in 2 minutes.
Okay,
it's not that bad. Yeah. Well, you don't have. I have a vinyl record collection. It's not mine, but I have one.
You listen to vinyl?
No. My dad does.
What are some of the highlights of that collection?
Rumors.
Rumors is a great album.
Oh yeah.
Oh my god, that's a great album.
Oh, it's maybe one of my favorites. That's honestly
in the running for greatest album of all time. Rumors.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's funny because my parents, because I got them a copy of them, and they're just like, yeah, everyone had this. Every single person we ever knew had this album because it's incredible.
That is a great record. But no, what you realize too is that all of their songs are on that album.
Yeah, pretty much. Although I generally just like Fleetwood Mac, you know.
Dreams.
Even... Yep. Mm-hmm.
Go Your Own Way. The Chain.
Yep. Like the best.
All they there.
They don't have Tusk on there. So Tusk is good.
And I guess Landslide. Or no, is that a, yeah, Landslide? Is that a Stevie Nicks song or is that a Fleetwood Mac song?
Ooh, I don't know.
Let me look this up.
Yeah, there are a lot of bands like that where they only have one album.
Oh, that's it's Fleetwood Mac.
Okay.
Like the Killers.
The Killers?
They only have one album.
Good album, though.
It's a great album. I mean, every song on there is awesome, but does anybody care about anything else they've put out?
I'll tell you what, what's the lead singer's name of the Killers? I'm blanking on his name. Shit. He put out a solo album like a couple years ago, and it was fire.
I don't know.
Yeah, I wouldn't know his
Brandon
name.
Flowers.
Oh, okay.
Good record. Can we talk about Christmas movies now? Can we do this?
We could try, yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, let's do it. We got our whole Christmas season lined up for you guys already.
My favorite time of year.
Yeah, I guess it's
my favorite podcasting time of year for sure.
Sure.
By the way, really quick. Before we jump into this movie, we're going to be doing Christmas Swap again, right?
Are we?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Oh, boy.
Sure.
How are we doing that?
Well, you'll be here.
I'll be home.
All right.
I'll be home for Christmas. In fact, I actually think we should all go see a movie in theaters together for that week.
Oh, no!
Yeah, we're going to have to see it together.
Oh, no.
Is that worse than going by yourself? I don't know.
You got to go together.
Oh, no. What are we seeing?
Oh, you know what we're seeing. If you've engaged with any memes of any kind over the last 4 months, you know exactly what we're seeing Christmas week. And it may involve some song and dance routines by some cuddly felines.
Fucking cats.
Tom Hooper, baby. Tom Hooper.
Oh, Nico, your head's gonna implode.
I did make a vow I would never see a Tom Hooper movie ever again, and I think I'm gonna have to lift that ban.
After Les Mis, is that what it was that pushed you over the edge?
No, it was that stupid fucking Danish Girl movie.
Oh, I didn't see that. Yeah.
That's what it was.
All right.
I was done. I could not name for you a more boring IMDb page than The King's Speech, Les Miserables, The Danish Girl, and Cats.
I love The King's Speech.
I am out on everything.
By the way, our 200th episode is actually going to be our 201st episode, but we're just gonna live with it. All right.
Is Cats going to be our 200th episode?
Unfortunately.
Oh, no.
Unfortunately, Cats is going to be our 200th episode.
All right, let's do this here.
Let's jump into this.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
We watched a movie called The Night Before Christmas.
Mm. Did this just come out on Netflix?
It did.
Yes, it did.
Mm-hmm. So you can go ahead and watch this yourself on Netflix as well.
You certainly
can. It's got a 90-minute runtime.
If you'd like to, yeah.
It stars Vanessa Hudgens as Brooke Winters.
Nice name.
Yes, her last name is Winters because why wouldn't it be? And Night in the title, The Night Before Christmas, is spelled K-N-I-G-H-T because it involves a night.
A time-traveling night.
Add this to the list of movies developed after the title. Because that's what this was.
Absolutely.
They had the title first, screenplay second.
Mm-hmm. I need to make mention of something I saw right at the end credits. Now, I think. Mm-hmm. The last thing I saw of this movie and my jaw dropped was the words produced by Vanessa Hudgens.
Your mouth dropped from that. That's not that surprising.
No, because I thought, okay, they dug this broad out of the attic to star in this film.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, no, she fucking paid for it.
Yep.
She paid for this movie.
This is her passion project.
She wanted to do this.
Is she friends with the writer? Is she just like, and the writer's like, hey, can you help me with my movie? And she's like, sure, yeah. Or was she like, man, I really need to be in a Christmas classic. That's what I need to really boost my career.
The writer has only worked on Hallmark movies in the past. Her name is Kara J. Russell.
Yeah. These writers who work on these like Hallmark movies to me are the same as like those romance novel writers that they sell their books in the grocery stores and at the airport. Exactly. They're just like, they just pump out content, get a check.
Man, there's so many of them though.
It's not art, though, is my point.
I disagree.
Passion.
I disagree.
Are
with
you
that.
Kidding me? It's a formula. It is a mathematical formula. Plug and drop. Boop, boop, boop.
I disagree just a little bit.
There's some commercial art out there that's pretty, you know, formulaic, I suppose, that I can buy at a Walmart and hang on my wall.
I want to be clear about something. Not only did Vanessa Hudgens spill her drink on the man in question, yep, she also hit him with her car. This is a formula.
Yeah.
This is a fair point. This is a fair point. I just love the fact that Vanessa Hudgens, this is her one for me movie. You know what I mean? Like this is what she does in between studio projects.
Well, what did she do recently? I saw her in like some weird ad as like a crack addict or something. What the fuck was that movie?
Well, let's talk about this, shall we? Vanessa Hudgens' IMDb page. Here we go. 2018, three episodes of Drunk History. 2019, Rent.
That's not bad.
Rent live on Fox.
Okay.
2019, Polar, starring Mads Mikkelsen.
I've been wanting to watch that. It's on my Netflix list.
Apparently, it's horrendous. Second Act, starring Jennifer Lopez. My parents watched that like last week, and I don't think they liked it very much. The Princess Switch, a Netflix looks like Hallmark movie. Oh my God, this is actually the second Vanessa Hudgens Netflix Christmas movie.
Oh no.
Dog Days, A group of interconnected people in Los Angeles are brought together by their lovely canine counterparts. Not very good reviews. Grease Live. She played Rizzo in Grease Live. I watched that shit.
You did?
Yes. Well, you know me. I love me some Grease.
I guess.
She played Rizzo in Grease. 2014, she was in a movie called Gimme Shelter, where it looks like she plays a drug addict. Oh, no.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, did they ugly her up in that movie?
Yep, yep. That's the one I was thinking of.
Machete Kills in 2013. The Frozen Ground, starring Nicolas Cage in 2013. Spring Breakers in 2012. Journey to the Mysterious Island in 2012.
Stupid name.
Sucker Punch 2011. Zack Snyder.
Oh my God, Sucker Punch. We got to do that one of these days.
Beastly in 2011.
That's a good point, yeah.
Beastly, which is a modern day adaptation of Beauty and the Beast. Disney did not co-sign. And then you basically got nothing in between that and High School Musical 3, which came out in 2008. Vanessa Hudgens, one of the first loves of my life, I think.
Really?
I think I became a man the day I saw Vanessa Hudgens, I think.
I didn't know who Vanessa Hudgens was until Spring Breakers.
That's bizarre.
Mm-hmm.
Were you just totally out on the High School Musical thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I feel like everybody watched High School Musical, whether you liked it or not, whether you wanted to or not.
Nope.
This was just sort of like around, think about it. We were in middle school when it came out, which is like the prime audience for a movie about high schoolers.
Mm-hmm. I think I saw about 5 minutes of the third movie once at someone else's house, and that's it.
I feel like it's it's like elevator music. It's just always on.
Mm-hmm.
High School Musical.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't really tell you.
You mean
the plot
back in the day?
Here's another funny little thought experiment to run by you, though. So you just read Vanessa Hudgens' like IMDb, right?
I did. Nothing of note, by the way, except for Spring Breakers.
If we went back and we looked at Zac
Efron, is Spring Breakers her best movie?
Maybe. But if we went back right now and looked at Zac Efron's, you would see a bunch of successes in the past 5 years.
Certainly comedies. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Zac Efron's
her.
Doing fine. I like Zac Efron. I think he's actually doing really well.
Yeah, he's all right.
And it's also kind of the same if you look at Twilight with and Robert Pattinson, who's doing pretty well.
Robert Pattinson especially, he's making like incredible decisions.
Right.
Like, he's becoming like one of my favorite actors working today.
Well, Kristen Stewart too. Let's not sell Kristen Stewart short.
No, yeah.
She's had a nice career too after Twilight.
I mean, that's true.
What would you say about Ashley Tisdale though?
Yeah. I don't know what she's up to be honest.
I think that's the exception that proves your rule. Ashley Tisdale. I was in love with both of them. Vanessa Hudgens especially. Oh, a vision in High School Musical. A vision.
Oh, yeah.
Stunning. Yeah. Are you kidding me?
I wouldn't know.
Vanessa Hudgens, bro?
I need to see a picture of Vanessa Hudgens in High School Musical.
Did you find Vanessa Hudgens attractive in this movie?
Yeah, she was fine.
I think she was hotter in High School Musical, in fairness.
Hold on a second. Let's find this chick. Is that all she was known for, by the way?
Yes.
Okay.
Now, I may be conflating this with the fact, maybe I shouldn't spill this information, because this is, sensitive.
Yeah.
But.
Oh, yeah.
Vanessa Hudgens was the victim of a very high-profile nude photo leak.
I was wondering if we'd be able to like avoid this segment of the discussion. I wasn't gonna bring it up if you didn't. So, but of course he brought it up. So we must discuss, as the podcast rules dictate, according to the constitution we all signed on to.
We have zero
on this podcast's founding.
I don't care.
That was my Christmas day in the ninth grade.
Yeah, I'm sure it was.
Christmas came early that year.
And so did Nico.
I'm sure she would love to meet you, Nico.
Night before Christmas. So a knight travels in time because he meets this. What does he call the girl? The woman?
Old crone.
The crone.
Yeah. Old crone. Yep, that's it.
That's old
up there with broad, wench.
Right.
I mean, that's pretty good.
Yeah, I'm going to start calling chicks at the bar crone.
Well, they got to be older. Like cougars.
Oh, word.
Call them a crone.
Ooh. Get over here, you crone.
Come hither, crone.
So this guy is like a 14th century knight. I'm not sure the exact century, but back in the day.
You're right. 14th century, 1334, England.
Ooh.
Norwich.
Yep.
Not bad. He meets a crone in the woods, and the crone's like, I have a mission for you. Take this mm-hmm. medallion and complete your quest. It's the most like vague mission I think I've ever heard in any movie.
Yeah, accurate.
This one really lacks a lot of specificity. Like, I feel like if Ethan Hunt got this recording in Mission Impossible, the movie would end right there.
He'd just sit there on the table and let the thing explode in his face.
Right.
Probably would. No, I'm serious. There is no quest, right? I mean, there's certainly no, yeah. There are no specificities. What does she say? Just go find your...
Find your quest.
Find your quest?
It's a matter of the heart.
Find Something. Your quest.
Yeah, it's pretty vague.
All right.
In order to be a true knight, you have to do something that makes you be a knight. Mm. Mm.
And this guy, by the way, is dressed head to toe in chainmail. He's got the little red hood. He's got a sword.
Pretty shitty armor. It looks like...
It is not shitty armor, by the way. It's
very shitty armor.
It saves him from a car.
It wouldn't, by the way.
No,
let me be very clear.
It's an excellent point.
So. Movie should have ended right there. Dead Knight. That's what it should have been.
Dead Knight. That's it.
Just bloody Christmas. Just blood all over the fucking snowy road.
So that's in the 14th century. But then in modern days, we have Vanessa Hudgens, who plays Miss Winters, a elementary school teacher or middle school.
In Ohio. Represent. Right? Yeah.
Where in
Ohio? Takes place in Ohio. Some made up town, or maybe it's real, but I didn't bother to look.
She is talking to one of her students, a young pupil, who has just, I guess, failed her midterm.
Yes.
And she's like, yeah, I haven't been studying because I just got broken up with by my boyfriend. In which the two share a very intimate conversation about the nature of love and how, you know, in the real world, there is no prince. There is no true love that's going to sweep you off your feet and live happily ever after. Instead, that's just for fairy tales. So yeah, deal with it, little girl.
She was right. Fucked up lesson.
No, she's absolutely right. The movie should have just ended right there. You know, that's the lesson just given to us.
But we come to find out that indeed princes do exist, or I guess we should say knights. Nick, take the plot away of this movie, please, would you?
I mean, yeah, so he's given like a magical medallion and transported to the modern day and immediately runs into Vanessa Hudgens twice. Like, yeah. I said, once by spilling hot chocolate on him and once when she hits him with her car. And when she hits him with the car, he ends up going to the hospital. She goes to check on him and they realize that, you know, this guy thinks he's a knight. Yep. From the 14th century. He probably has a brain injury, so he has amnesia. He has no identification, so we don't know where he lives. And she goes, okay, well, you know, my parents were filthy rich and both are dead now and I live alone, so I have a nice house in my backyard, so he can come stay with me. So and they live together in separate buildings, but in the same property.
Yeah.
And shenanigans ensue where he's a knight and he doesn't know how to live in 2019.
Yeah.
This is the subject of my first question.
Yes.
What the fuck does Vanessa Hudgens do for a living?
She doesn't do anything.
No, her father was a cop.
Right.
Which probably means he had a very nice pension.
Was he like killed in the line of duty?
It sounds like it. It sounds like he... Well, the mother died of an illness and he died a few months later. Either of heartbreak or in the line of duty or something.
Died of heartbreak.
We don't know. We don't know. It happens. They don't say.
That's true.
It's actually the leading cause of death amongst cops. Heartbroken heart.
Well, you know, a heart does tend to break when a bullet goes through it. So
I was hoping you wouldn't say it, but
no, I don't know what happened. They really are very vague about it on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
I think, but she has a nice big property. But yeah, so you know, it's you know him trying to learn how to live with an Amazon Alexa. Shut up. Okay, mine just went off. Him understanding what a freezer is, what a TV is. He brings his sword out in the front yard and destroys everything. He tries to kill a skunk and sets a huge bonfire. Stupid shit like that, you know?
Yeah, pretty much. Fish out of water.
That's pretty much the movie.
That's it. I'm still hung up on this, though. What does Vanessa Hudgens do with her days?
She doesn't
She's a kindergarten teacher.
Yeah.
Oh, sure. Okay. Yeah, right. She's a teacher. Okay.
She's a teacher.
Yep.
Oh, all right. Okay. Yeah. All right. That makes sense.
And she's on Christmas break.
That's right. Okay. Because I was wondering, because there's like this movie takes place over a week.
But it starts December 19th, which is definitely like Christmas break time.
Mm-hmm.
And the movie ends Christmas Day. So.
Okay. Yeah.
I think
all
it
right.
makes sense.
All right. Okay.
But yeah. She's a school teacher, but her dad was a cop. Her mom must have done something to also have some pretty good money because they have a nice property, but it's also Ohio where it's a lot cheaper to live.
Have you ever seen a Hallmark movie where the properties were not just perfect in every single way, though?
Of course not.
That's a good point. That's a good point. Yeah. I mean, just idea of a guest house just seems like a little much. And the guest house is totally decked out, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think it's a very nice guest house. I think they should have toned that down a little.
Too nice, you thought?
Yeah, yeah.
Nice? Well, let me tell you the detail that pushed over the edge is when Sir Cole went into the fridge and pulled out a bottle of Fiji water. Who stocks the guest house with Fiji water?
Okay, yeah, I mean, unless you're putting that up on fucking Airbnb.
I've never been in an Airbnb with fucking Fiji water.
Well, that's because you always go for the cheapest Airbnb.
The most I'm getting is a Brita filter, bro. I ain't getting a Fiji. Are you kidding me? Those things are $3 a bottle.
Now that I think about it, I think I have been stocked up with Fijis before at an Airbnb.
I've been at a taxi where they have or Ubers where they have Fiji water.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of Ubers are you taking?
DC.
Nico, you don't know what you're doing.
Washington, DC Ubers, man.
Are you kidding me?
Well, you never know when you're going to get a senator in the car.
That's an excellent point.
You better have Fiji water.
I know. You want that pothole fixed. So we come to find out, by the way, Vanessa Hudgens has an ex-boyfriend who cheated on her. And we learn this when Vanessa's niece, right? That's the niece, goes up to Santa Claus in Santa's village. And when Santa asks, what do you want this Christmas? She goes, I want my aunt Brooke to get a boyfriend that won't cheat on her.
It's very very forward.
Oh you my know? God, what shade.
She meant well, I think.
I mean, Santa certainly responded to it nicely, you know. Thought he did a good job handling that, right?
He's like, yeah, I'll stuff her stockings. He was kind of creepy. Creepy Santa, a little bit.
Maybe.
Santa's gonna bop to the top this fucking Christmas.
I'm trying to... I don't ever remember that as a kid, by the way. I'm thinking about that now. Did you guys ever sit on Santa's lap? I don't think I ever did.
Yeah.
Sure.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, at the mall.
I never bought it.
You never bought it?
Nah.
Well, I mean, because if you sit on the guy's lap, you're like, this is just a dude. Like, I can tell.
it's just
even as, like, a six-year-old kid, that's, parents are always like, oh, it's one of Santa's helpers.
Right.
It's not really, because they know you're not going to buy it. It's like, I can pull his beard. There's a string right there.
Your parents actively told you this is not actually Santa Claus?
Well, that's a pretty common thing, I think. They're
really?
They're like, Santa can't be everywhere at once, so he has a bunch of helpers who collect information on the kids and give it to Santa.
Right. He has impersonators.
The level of
that smell
lying.
Like Marlboro
cigarettes.
It's
just a web of lies.
Yeah,
it's just a web of lies, man. And you get the older your kids get, the deeper you go until the web just crumbles.
Jesus.
Just like their childhood.
This is why kids become drug addicts.
Yeah, that's why the opioid epidemic is what it is.
Yeah. We just have to start by saying there is no Santa or Easter Bunny. There is no God, all that other stuff, you know?
I blame Santa.
Have I told you guys the story crisis. when I revealed Santa's true identity to my five-year-old cousins?
Oh, my God, what?
What a dick.
I it was Christmas Eve, and I'm there with, like, my cousins.
You did it on Christmas?
Christmas Eve. The day before Christmas, right before the gifts got under the tree. I was maybe like 12 or whatever. And all my cousins were significantly younger. And that night, I somehow cracked the code that Santa wasn't real. And I had to share it with everyone I knew because I had just figured out a major mystery. And it turns out everyone I knew were under the ages of 8. So that was not a fun Christmas Eve.
Dude.
Were they all crying?
Of course.
Dude.
Of course they were. Oh, my aunts and uncles were not happy with me.
You suck.
Oh, that was not a fun Christmas Eve for Nico.
I will say this though. Growing up with some younger cousins and with the triplets now, I think Christmas is only fun for parents. There's the two best Christmases for parents are when the kid is like 4 and it's like their first like sort of conscious Christmas
where they understand it. Yeah.
Right, where you can make all of like the Christmas miracles happen. Yeah. And then the year after they stop believing in Santa. Those are the only two fun Christmases for parents. You know what I mean? Because as soon as they stop believing, it's like, okay, no more bullshit. Let's all the kids come help me put the presents under at 9 p.m. I'm going to get some sleep tonight.
Yep.
You can eat some fucking cookies.
Right. I don't got to take a bite out of the cookie and leave
right,
the crust
for you. Right. I don't have to stay up till 2 a.m. and lug all these gifts downstairs quietly.
Sure. And then I got to learn how to write in cursive. Right. I haven't written in cursive for 20 years.
Don't forget to half chew some carrots and throw them outside.
Yeah, it's such a mess, dude.
Yeah, I don't think my parents never told me that Santa didn't exist, though. They never actually came to me and was like, yeah, sorry, but we were lying to you for however many years, for 24 years.
I think I learned that Santa wasn't real and what sex was on the same day.
I had a very similar experience.
What?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I was in the car with my dad and I was just in a mood to ask a bunch of questions and I think he was in the mood to just tell me.
My parents never told me what sex was, and I actually think I was worse for it.
I've always known what sex was.
Adam remembers his parents conceiving him. He remembers that.
I remember being shot out of my dad's balls and everything.
He's got just such an impeccable memory. It goes all the way back to the sperm. He remembers beating out the other 100,000 sperm cells.
I could read at a fourth grade level, dude. Just saying. I was pretty.
That's funny.
Oh my god!
Why did Santa have a gray beard in this movie?
Why not?
Why didn't they just like either find a better actor or get a better beard? Is that what you're asking?
Yes.
They like used the guy's real beard,
right? And it was gray.
It just didn't look right. It didn't look right.
I'm fine with the gray beard. I'm okay with Santa having a gray beard. They want him to be more realistic, you know, dark and edgy. That's what they're going for.
Santa to insist that it's mature.
Yes, exactly. I want this. It's a very serious movie, guys. I don't know.
Did you guys watch this movie with subtitles?
No. What?
No.
I watch everything with subtitles. I'm one of those people.
Okay.
When Jingle Bells came on near the beginning of the movie, when they first went to the 2019 Little Christmas Village.
Yeah.
I want you to understand, there were people singing Christmas bells. This wasn't background music. There were people singing Christmas bells, like the choir.
Jingle bells, you mean?
Yeah, whatever. Jingle bells. Mm. And the subtitle said, Jingle Bells by Michael Bublé.
Really?
And I'm just thinking, how presumptuous. What, did that song not exist before Michael Bublé? You think the chorus is singing Michael Bublé's version? And just not doing it justice.
Michael Bublé has taken ownership of that song.
But it's not. It's ridiculous.
It's Michael Bublé season.
I guess that's true.
Get ready for
just
it.
But that's like saying Yesterday by Michael Jackson just because he owned the Beatles songs. Like it's not his song. He didn't fucking write it. I'm sorry. It's fucking Jingle Bells. That song is fucking 8,000 years old.
Nick, you have a point. You have a point.
I would like to hear Jesus Michael Jackson Christ. Cover Yesterday, though. It's too bad they never did that.
He never did? You would think that he would if he owned the goddamn thing.
No, he just bought it to be a dick. He didn't actually perform any of the Beatles songs.
You know, that Michael Jackson, sometimes, man, I question him.
I do, you know, every once in a while.
Yeah, there's something weird about him.
I don't know about
him.
Can't
quite place it.
Can't really put my finger on it.
Well, I'm sure he could.
Damn it!
A couple things about this movie. I had some notes here. This night, although he's certainly a fish out of water, and the movie reminds you time and time again that he's a fish out of water, does have a familiarity with some, like, modern day practices that he should not have a familiarity with.
Like driving?
Well, certainly driving. That's the driving is way better than you think it would be.
A lot better, yeah.
He takes it all really well as well, and he's a very quick learner.
Oh, very quick learner.
He learns how to drive just by watching her drive. He learns, like, an entire dialect by watching TV overnight.
Right. He understands the terms, and I wrote this down. Awesome new threads, straight fire. And
lit AF.
Modern technology is lit AF.
Yes, yeah. He also, I'm not shocked that he knows how to bake bread. I'm shocked that he knows how to bake bread in an oven.
Yeah, that's a good point.
He bakes like 13 perfect loaves of bread in an oven.
True. Yeah, I
Here's what it was. Go ahead.
No, no, I was just wondering how it became so acclimated so quickly. It was pretty amazing. It was reminding me of like Peter Sellers and Being There. Which is something that only Nico understands, but that's okay.
Chauncey Gardner.
Yep.
Here's what did it for me was when Vanessa Hudgens gives Sir Cole some linens and says, go take a shower. And he emerges from the shower a little damp with the towel wrapped around his waist.
As if he knew how to do that.
How did he know the towel move?
You know, that's an excellent question. Wow. I did not even pick up on that.
Where'd
Holy
the towel
shit.
Move come from?
I had the exact same thought running through my head because I remember being a kid, like 10, 12 years old, not knowing how to do that, like struggling every time. I try to wrap the towel, it doesn't work
right.
Yeah,
me too. Me too.
You know, it's not something, you know, it's something people take for granted, but it's not easy, man.
That's a good point. It does take a while to master.
True. Interesting.
Knew it right away. And I don't think
also,
Vanessa Hudgens told him.
Yeah, I don't think she did, no. Also, not that handsome. I'm just going to throw that out there.
Okay, thank you.
Really good looking.
I was wondering this the entire time. What was so appealing about this dude?
He's good looking for a British dude. I will say that.
What does that mean, Nick?
Well, you know, he good had teeth. Nice teeth.
Good teeth.
No, he didn't have good teeth, by the way.
They weren't terrible. He looked like he was balding, but he hadn't gotten there yet. He's still in his early 20s, so he won't really bald for another 5 years.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess maybe in the 1300s, it was a lot harder to get all of that inbreeding. I think another 700 years of inbreeding is how we got where we are today. So maybe it's believable.
Okay.
But I thought he was pretty good looking for a British dude, but overall not that, you know.
Not for Vanessa Hudgens, okay?
And besides, they had knights in France. They had knights in, Spain, I guess. That's probably it. Just those three.
Well, I have a question. I mean, this is something that was bugging me the entire time. Were knights that well-mannered back in the day? I feel like this is a cliche.
It's a myth. It's a myth.
I feel like they must have been complete jackasses.
They were assholes, okay? Their chivalry was something that was just meant to put them above the peasants. We have a code. You know, that's bullshit. No, they were the fat cats lapping up all the milk, all right?
Yeah. Because I know he's not a knight, but in season one of Game of Thrones, who's that king that's friends with Sean Bean's character, Ned Stark?
Oh, King Robert.
Baratheon?
King Robert.
Yeah, he's the only person I think of now when I think of, like, a knight or a king or something like that.
That's what it is, yeah. I think that's correct.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
All
right. Fat,
he's awesome, by the
slob,
way. Really...
married a gold digger.
Yeah. Love misogynist, that kind of thing.
I mean, not a terrible guy.
Really?
I mean, better than his son.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
I think definitely better than his sociopathic son.
Which one? He had so many sons.
Let's go with Joffrey, not Tommen.
Okay, you might be right.
Well, actually, he had no
technically,
sons.
No, he had one. He had a bastard.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah, Joffrey wasn't that great.
No, I'm not a big fan of that.
Yeah, in fact,
guy,
Robert Baratheon's one son actually was pretty cool.
a little overrated.
All of Jamie's kids who kind of suck.
A little overrated. I'm gonna go hot, but not hot enough for Sir Cole. That's what I'm gonna go with. I'm gonna go with hot, but still not in Vanessa Hudgens' league.
I don't know. I mean, I feel like Vanessa Hudgens' league dropped a little.
How dare you? How dare you?
Not, you know, here's the thing. I haven't seen Vanessa Hudgens since High School Musical. this movie was a shock to my conscience.
Really?
First off, I didn't recognize her right away until the credits popped up and said starring Vanessa Hudgens. And then I was like, oh, right.
I think Nico could get with this Vanessa Hudgens.
You think she's attainable to me?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think so.
I agree.
That's not a compliment to her.
No, not at all, Nico. Don't you worry.
Well, I've already been with her in my dreams, so that's okay.
Let me just ask you guys this really quick. I mean, I know we're not really... Did you guys enjoy this movie at all?
Yes.
Yep.
I fucking hated it. I thought this movie blew. I thought it sucked.
Oh, it's a complete pile of shit.
But it wasn't like The Christmas Prince where it was like charming in its shittiness, right? Maybe it's because I just saw Last Christmas, which is another prime example of something that is very charming in its shittiness.
Okay.
This movie I thought blew.
Yeah, it does blow. You're not wrong.
I just could not stand it.
I love everything like this. And that's just my own weird thing. It's Christmas time, and I am contractually obligated not to hate anything.
But it does all of those little things that I hate. That's the problem. Like, I can move past the major issues. It's the little ones. Like, when he time travels with the like medallion or whatever, they put in these really shitty, like, blue wisp effects in post. Like, yeah. That, first off, like, if they just did it in the original shot with, like, a fucking smoke machine and some lights, I probably would have been okay with it.
Me too.
But the fact that they put it in post, like, and it just looks so shitty. I mean, you know what I'm talking about? Don't you hate that shit?
I can't believe I'm saying this, but this is a scenario where I'm actually perfectly fine with the technical details, and for some reason, Nick is the one criticizing them. This is usually completely reversed. I don't think, I mean, this is not like a great movie by any stretch of the imagination, but technically, I mean, it's fine. It is what it is.
What about the grocery store shots where they're going aisle to aisle?
Yeah, it's whatever.
It's just like the cinematographer trying to do something not dumb.
It looks better and it's edited better than Christmas Prince, I can tell you that. But, I mean, I see what you mean. It's very flat, you know, but it doesn't do anything, like, completely offensive.
There's only maybe a 1 minute and 45 second portion of the movie I enjoyed.
What was that?
It was when they surprised the single father with his four kids with a Christmas tree full of gifts for his family.
Aww.
That was the only.
They did
part
linger
that
on that guy
emotion.
Quite a bit, didn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought David was gonna like be revealed as a serial rapist.
Because, oh my God.
No, they like teased it. They were like, "Oh, David's such a nice guy," but it was kind of like ominous. You didn't get that same vibe?
No, I got the vibe that he was a nice guy and he's going through a rough patch, and that was it. And then, lo and behold, here's a bunch of gifts for him because he's a nice guy who's going through a rough patch.
You know, it's funny you say that, and I think maybe I'm a little more on your side, Nick, than I think, is because I think at that point in the film, I was screaming at the television, and I'm just like, why is there no conflict in this movie?
Right, because there's none. There's nothing.
There is zero conflict whatsoever.
There's
in
not
this
even
movie.
Any conflict with the ex-boyfriend.
No. I love that. It's like, what?
They didn't want to pay him to have any lines. He's like a background character. He doesn't talk.
No, but that's exactly what I was thinking. There's that moment, it comes like maybe 50 minutes in or whatever, where the girls go missing. And the scene before, they had mentioned this guy, David, and they go, David's such a nice guy. And you're just conditioned, because I have movie brain, you're just conditioned for the rug to be pulled out from underneath you. And so I just figured, oh, the kids must have been kidnapped by David.
No.
I'm serious, that's what I thought. And then the knight was going to have to go rescue them.
Like I said, these are formulaic movies, okay? There is no conflict. Ever. These are feel-good Christmas movies or romance movies, and the only conflict that ever comes in is always, and you'll see this probably for the rest of the month if we keep doing these, but
we will.
With Christmas Prince, you'll see it in Last Christmas, it's always a misunderstanding. Every time. It's a miscommunication, and they separate, and then they get back together every time. And all it is in this movie is he's like, well, I have to go back and do my duty. He's like, oh, no. My quest was you all along. Rawr. Stupid.
Yep.
It's fucking dumb. These are formulaic pieces of shit. And part of the reason I love Last Christmas, and I'm going to keep talking about this movie because I love it.
We're talking about it next week. Don't give it away too much.
but it breaks from the formula just a little bit, just in the right way.
Okay. That's surprising to hear.
Just a little bit, just in the right way.
Yeah, I don't feel like the reviews have indicated that. But okay. Look, I want something formulaic though. Like the question is not are these good? Because it's comfort food. That's Christmas. That's Christmas time. Christmas is comfort. Christmas is not surprise. There's a reason why we listen to the same Christmas songs every year. There's a reason why we watch Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and Charlie Brown every year. It's comfort. It's familiarity. You come home on Christmas. You don't explore the world. You stay home. That's what this is, right? So, like, the question is not, are these movies good? It's, are they comfortable? And I watched this thing, and it was like a warm blanket last night. It put me to sleep.
Well, see, all those things you just listed have been around since the dawn of time.
Yes.
You know? I feel like the introduction of a lot of this new stuff doesn't work for me. I don't know. Like, I will always go back and rewatch Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and The Grinch and Die Hard and all those great films, but...
Here's what this strikes me as, okay? This is maybe what bothers me about this movie. This strikes me as Vanessa Hudgens pays to attempt to revitalize her career by making a Christmas classic. And it, in my opinion, fails.
Yeah.
That's what this feels like to me. This feels like, well, my career is non-existent.
This was not an attempt at a Christmas classic. Get the fuck out of here. The Night Before Christmas, K-N-I-G-H-T, is not...
You don't think so?
No! He's not trying... They're not trying to make Miracle on 34th Street. Are you kidding me?
It's no Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer. It's not quite that good.
I think she's trying to just... I think she's just trying to bring her career back, and I think it fails. I think it's a flop.
It is a flop. No, don't get me
wrong. No, it's not. What about this is a flop?
This is the most boring, forgettable thing you could possibly dig up.
30 of these movies come out every year. They're not flops, man. They're not flops.
I was very disinterested. I don't know.
They are flops in people's consciousness, which is very important for them to be a classic.
I mean, the classic here is the name, right? The name. It's a classic in name.
Sure.
That's what it is. It's an achievement in brainstorming.
Well, all of these movies, all of them, all, without exception, are all just like a pun, or they're just named before the movie even comes out half the time.
Mm-hmm. No, this movie is an achievement in punnery. That's what this is. It is an achievement in punnery. And I'm all here for it, man.
That's a great legacy. Yeah. You going to ride on that legacy for this film, Nico?
Absolutely. So the two of these guys, they fall in love, live happily ever after, all this shit. What else was there? Did I have any more notes?
What else is there to say about
this
movie?
There is a teaser at the end for a sequel.
Right. His brother, back in England, 1334, meets the same crone, and she has a different medallion. Mm-hmm. And it's sort of implied that she's going to send him to the future of probably the year 2020 to next Christmas.
Ooh.
So,
for another night before Christmas.
Wow. That's probably what they're going to call it, too.
Right. And he'll fall in love with Ashley Tisdale. It'll be fantastic.
Oh my God.
That'd be great.
Can you imagine? I would lose my shit.
Either that or Selena Gomez, one of the two.
Why haven't we been pitching our ideas to these people? We need to start doing that.
We can really sell them a script, no question.
Absolutely.
All right, right now I'll tweet Netflix, okay?
Idea? Let's come up with something.
I'm 100% serious.
All right, we're going to come up with this tweet live on the podcast. If you guys want to find it, just at Tacky Slacks on Twitter. All right, there's
my plug. Give me a name for a Christmas movie. Let's think of like a Christmas-related phrase.
A Christmas-related phrase.
Tis the season.
Holly jolly.
Deck the halls.
How about walking around the Christmas tree?
Oh! Ooh.
And it's about a paraplegic who regains the ability to walk.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah?
That's great. That's our idea.
Not too shabby. Who's playing the paraplegic?
All right. So yeah, walking around.
Who's playing the paraplegic?
No, but it's Walken with a IN apostrophe. No G.
Or should it be Christopher Walken?
Christopher Walken.
Oh fuck.
Walking around. Yo, walking around the Christmas tree. Fuck yeah.
All right.
Fuck yeah.
You know, I was in the military with your father, and I lost my legs. And until I met you, I never did any walking around the tree. I have a bad Christopher Walken. I'm sorry, guys.
I understood it. Okay. That was great. That was great. Walking around the Christmas tree. Brilliant.
Starring Christopher Walken as a paraplegic veteran of war. It can be a Deer Hunter sequel.
And after he blew his head off?
Yep.
Oh, boy. Okay.
He survived it somehow.
Didn't they bury him? So he would have had to come up from the grave.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. So it's a zombified Christopher Walken.
So he's a paraplegic war veteran.
Mm. Oh, how about this? Working as a Santa Claus impersonator.
Oh, working as Santa Claus.
Yes. Okay. He's one of Santa's helpers at Kohl's or some shit.
At the local mall.
Yeah.
See, my second choice for casting.
He has a drinking problem, but we're only going to lightly hint at that because we have to get in on the TVPG side of it.
Mm. My first
Maybe
choice.
No drinking problem.
Really?
We can let them add the spice. We're here to just build the recipe, okay. But they can add the spice. Got you know, it. Season okay. to taste.
We can put like empty bottles in the background, and then they'll piece it together themselves. That'll work.
Yeah.
Okay, so he's working at a mall, and then before you know it, here is a young, let's see, what does she do for a living? Maybe she's a seamstress.
A seamstress?
What's a good Hallmark job?
She sells Christmas ornaments?
Yeah, no, Christmas cards at the
oh,
local Hallmark store.
Oh, there we go. Okay, so she's a greeting card salesman who has a young daughter, obviously, who's adorable, mm-hmm. and salesman her husband... Local. Also a veteran of war, but died overseas in battle.
Ah.
So you got a little bit of the connection there.
Does she write him a Christmas card that just really like hits home and he has to go find her and that kind of thing? Is that what we're getting
An elderly woman?
Not elderly. No, she's not elderly.
No, she's not. She's young?
She has to be very young, like in her 20s.
No, she's not very young. she's appropriate enough for Christopher Walken.
Like a...
appropriate enough. Okay.
42. Is that okay?
A mid 40s.
How old is Walken?
He's in his like 60s, right?
A mid 40s woman. A greeting card salesman at the mall's Hallmark store.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, yes. Hallmark is already loving this, by the way.
Yeah, I should tag Hallmark really quick. That's probably a good idea.
Walken was born in 43. So what age was?
He's old. God,
he's very old.
He's 76.
Or we can get away with 45.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
And let's. How about freaking Valerie Bertinelli plays her in the movie, or someone like that.
I had Jennifer Jason Leigh in my head.
Oh, not bad. Mm-hmm. Not bad. Okay. So Jennifer Jason Leigh.
Yeah,
all right, played by Jennifer. Is that just spelt all normal? Jennifer Jason Leigh?
No, it's not.
L-E-I-G-H, I think is her last name.
L-E-I-G-H, yes. Yeah.
Who's awesome in Twin Peaks.
She is, with Tim Roth.
Awesome. Loved her so much.
All right.
And she sells greeting cards at Hallmark. And yep. Christopher Walken is a veteran of foreign war. Vietnam, let's say
and
that.
She's a widow?
She's a widow.
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
Well, this takes place in like 1980 then, because I don't think like he'd be... I don't know. He might be a little too old for Vietnam.
Let's not... No, we don't specify the war.
Okay.
He went to the war.
Right.
You know?
If we want to make Deer Hunter comparisons, her widow can be played by Robert De Niro, but we only ever see him in photographs. How's that work?
Well, we would have to get the De Niro estate to sign off on it.
Or I think we're Robert already, we're already stretching quite a bit with Christopher Walken.
Yeah, the budget is getting unruly at this point.
Well, no, we'll tell De Niro that Christopher Walken is in the movie. He's the star. He's going to do a favor for his buddy, right?
Of course. Are they friends?
Yeah, of course they are.
I'm not sure that's true.
I don't know if they get along. Son tells me they don't get along.
Oh, come on.
I don't know. Walken strikes me as an old conservative type.
Maybe you're right.
Walken may also have been on the boat when Robert Wagner murdered his wife.
What? Oh, yeah. That's
Remember
right.
that story?
Yeah. Oh, my. Oh, my. Wait, who, De Niro's wife?
No, Robert Wagner. Robert Wagner murdered his wife, and Christopher Walken was on the boat.
That's not good.
Yeah, it's a whole thing. Okay, well, this is great. Walking around the Christmas tree.
All right, so he's a paraplegic. He works as Santa.
Yep.
She sells Christmas cards, and so what does she do?
How about this? What does who do?
The Christmas card sales lady.
Oh, okay. How about this? So we'll reverse the roles. Rather than Jennifer Jason Leigh hitting Walken with his car, with her car, Walken will run over Jennifer Jason Leigh with his wheelchair.
Okay.
Right?
I love it.
So he runs over.
He'll be distracted because he's had a few too many to drink. But again, we'll What's lightly imply that.
What's her name?
Noelle.
Oh, Noelle. Oh, God. You just made my stomach turn.
How about Holly? Can we go a little more subtle?
Holly. There we go. That's good. I like that. Holly.
And her last name is Jolly.
How about that's Holly Noelle?
Oh, that's awful. That's so bad.
What's Walken's name?
Nicholas.
Yep. Yep.
Hey, that was his name in The Deer Hunter.
That's appropriate.
Nikki! Nikki! Nikki!
All right, so Nicholas accidentally runs over Holly.
Yep. Who is carrying a bunch of greeting cards.
Yep.
Oh, I like that. Right? A bunch of greeting cards.
Yes, right. Many.
But here's the thing, right? Okay, so she's got like a bundle that she's about to mail out because it's Christmas time.
And they spill over the edge of the balcony and everybody starts taking them like money.
Oh.
That's the second floor of the mall.
Not what I had in mind, but not bad.
I think that's a great idea. I can already see the shot now. It's wonderful.
I'm thinking it's like she's got the cards and she spills them all over Christopher Walken in his wheelchair and she grabs them all, right, and takes them home, except one gets stuck in his lapel. And it's got like the return address on it, right? She cracks it open, right? You know, to the man I love, something along those lines. Hope you're not spending Christmas time alone. And then just cold shows up at her door because he's got the return address on the envelope.
Ooh. All right.
I like this. Okay, so I carrying the cards to be mailed out. She spills them.
We can write this movie in 20 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah.
We can have the whole thing.
Recollects them all. But one.
Right.
Which Nicholas reads the return address.
After reading the card, of course, because the card says something
Nicholas
quite
reads
romantic. Yeah.
And attempts to return to her.
Exactly right.
All right.
And maybe on the card is a picture of her with her dead husband.
Her dead husband? I think that's a little extreme, Nico.
A little too much?
A little too much.
Okay.
A little too much.
Yeah.
And right, so, I think they fall in love.
There's a lot of like filler in between where they're just kind of getting to know each other and, you know, going down, you know, snow hills and on their sleds and whatnot. And
a lot of paraplegic hijinks, no doubt.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah, of course. He goes down some steps, you know, Lieutenant Dan style.
They go sledding.
They got to go sledding.
Yeah, of course.
Right.
Maybe she uses him as a sled.
So in order to repay him, she buys him a meal, right? She buys him dinner.
Okay, yeah.
Let's do some role reversal here. You know, he bumps into her. She pays for the meals.
Yeah, feel it. I feel it.
Some 2020, you know, fire. She buys him dinner. Or she makes him dinner. She makes him dinner.
Yeah.
And he meets her daughter.
Okay.
How old's the daughter? 16, is that appropriate?
Make her a little. Can we do like an estranged daughter kind of thing? That's in these movies, right?
Oh, he's got an estranged daughter.
Okay,
no doubt about that.
Seeing her daughter causes him to be like, maybe I should go and talk to my daughter now. That kind
Absolutely, of thing? Right. And wouldn't you know it, the minute he walks into that house, He's walking around the Christmas tree again.
He gets, it's a Christmas miracle. He just gets up and walks.
Okay. The power of love.
And Jesus.
Reconnects with the daughter. Not only learns how to walk, learns how to be a father again.
Nick is so into this.
We're Nick getting
is,
there, yeah.
Nick is so into this.
Please! Let the checks roll in, baby! I am waiting, Netflix!
A Why Is This a Thing movie? Yo, a why? No, it'd have to be Too Many Thoughts movie productions. Right?
Right.
We could do it.
Too Many Thoughts media movie productions.
Seeing her daughter reminds him of his estranged daughter. And Holly decides to help him reconnect with her.
Yes.
Beautiful.
And then there's a bunch of scenes where, like, they're shopping for shit. And, you know, he's like, I don't know what she'll like. And Holly, okay, like, you picks know, you out know, an you ugly know, sweater.
I know that we think this is hilarious, but this can be wildly offensive. I'm not going to write paraplegic hijinks. In the
I was going
to
say,
I'm not going to write that.
We have not specified. No,
yes. We're putting it down and Netflix has to pick it up and run with it, okay?
We don't say paraplegic hijinks. We just say, you know, Christmassy hijinks.
Christmas hijinks.
Yeah, Christmas hijinks with a paraplegic.
So as they travel together to try and find her, right? What do they do? I mean, maybe he sends her a Christmas card and it gets returned back to him with, like, a return to sender address, you know?
Sure.
We need a snowstorm in here, guys.
Well, that's Jennifer Jason Leigh has picked out the perfect Christmas card.
Right, exactly, exactly. Yeah. Holly picks out.
Because now it's a quest to get the letter to the daughter.
The perfect Christmas card.
Ooh, how about this? She now lives in Canada.
But...
okay.
It gets returned to sender, and Nicholas realizes he doesn't know where she lives anymore.
Right. Now it's time to track her down. And there's your snowstorm right there, Adam. There's a frozen tundra in Canada.
There's only
we need a
3 days till Christmas.
Okay.
Ooh, what if, hey? The daughter has joined the military, and she's going to get shipped out the day after Christmas.
That's a twist. I think we make that the twist.
Ticking clock, bro.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's what you got to do with that.
We only got 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so how do they track her down? Do they have to track her down before they can make the trek?
Well, he's obviously an expert tracker from his military days.
Is he also Indian? Is he also Native American?
Maybe Holly's daughter is able to find her on Facebook or something.
No, I think he has a buddy still in the military that has access to some, you know, questionable material on the United States citizenry.
Zach Caponegro.
Yeah. No, he's got a buddy in the NSA.
Here's the thing. It's got to be happy jolly the whole way through.
It is happy and jolly.
That's a little, like, we're talking about, like, spying and U.S. citizens here. I don't think that's going to run with the Hallmark crew.
Alexa is in this movie. Why wouldn't... I mean, wow. Government surveillance is part of the Netflix universe already.
I guess it's true. We just got to embrace 2020 with more government surveillance.
No, maybe they go to the address that they thought she lived at.
Right.
And they find out that she moved.
Sure.
Maybe.
You know?
Yeah, maybe it's like a neighbor or something.
Yes, okay. So they go to her former address, and a neighbor informs him.
How about this? She's living on a military base in Canada.
A military base in Canada?
She joined the Canadian military?
Wherever the military base is, it's snowy. That's the only. That's all we care about.
How about, like, Montana?
Do they have military bases in Montana?
I don't know.
They might.
So she's living on the base. You know, the neighbor informs him of this, right? And then it's like, yo, you gotta get to the base. See her off before she gets deployed.
So yeah, a neighbor informs him that she has moved onto a military base.
Okay.
This is a little weird. In Montana.
This is interesting. Okay, okay.
And she's going to get shipped off. She's so that she has joined the military, I should say. She's joined the military and is on a base. On base.
What a plot.
At a base in Montana.
Okay, so we get it. So she gets to the base, and then what happens? Does she embrace him with open arms? I think so, right? It's Hallmark, man.
So they try to get to Montana, and there's a big storm.
But all we need is the shot of them underneath a Christmas tree, him in a wheelchair, right? Her holding his hand. And then all of a sudden you see him, he emerges from the wheelchair, and we pan out to watch the two of them walking around the Christmas tree.
No.
Together.
Okay.
End scene.
Yeah. The last line.
Maybe he's not a paraplegic, actually. Hold on. Maybe he's just.
No.
Maybe he's just.
He's gotta be.
This is a hell of a rewrite.
Old. He's in a wheelchair and he can't walk anymore, but not like he can't feel his legs. He's just old and hasn't walked in years.
I do feel, though, like the Hallmark movies need an element of fantasy in them.
I like that, though. Yeah, I agree.
Just the fact that he hasn't walked in 10 years and the fact that he gets up and walks one last time. And then I think there's also a shot earlier in the movie of him and his daughter when she was very little dancing around the Christmas tree together.
Yes.
And when he sees her again, the same thing happens, but now he's older and he stands for the first time.
I still feel like we need the magic, but again, the machinations I will not fight you on.
Okay.
I think as long as we have that shot, I think we're okay. I personally would prefer a little more Christmas magic.
I guess. We don't want to overthink this too much, otherwise we're going to turn it into a good movie.
Exactly. That's also what I'm concerned about.
Yeah.
Is that what you're suggesting actually sounds like a moving ending to a Christmas tale.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't like that very much at all. This movie is called Walking Around the Christmas Tree, and it stars Christopher Walken. So let's be very clear about the level of quality we're aiming for.
So I'm going to say earlier in the movie, there is a shot of him and his daughter dancing together, right?
Sure.
On Christmas when she was a kid.
Sure. Precisely
dancing
right.
Dancing together around the Christmas tree.
Are you sending this to Netflix right now?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
What if they actually hear out our idea?
I'm going to write this screenplay. I'm going to get working on it tomorrow.
Go right ahead.
If you write this, we can send it to Netflix. I'm on board. I mean,
how fast can you write a script, Nico?
Oh, a day and a half on this one.
You know this one already.
It's already in my head. It's just a matter of putting it on the page.
When she was a little girl. Now, 20 years later, he stands. Parentheses, Christmas magic. And they dance one last time.
Right, as this sound or this song just slowly fades up in the background. Right. Christopher Walken dancing with his daughter around the Christmas tree.
The Christmas tree at the Christmas party hop. Is it called Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree?
It is, but this one's called Walkin' Around the Christmas Tree.
Well, but the song, I mean.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is great.
That's pretty good.
We have a movie. We have a Hallmark movie.
I think we do.
We have a Hallmark movie.
That is sweet. You know, we don't need to joke about this, though. I mean, the movie Tusk got made off of a podcast. So.
Why can't this one?
Exactly.
Netflix, I hope you're listening. Let's play a game, y'all. How many drew Nick is still feverishly typing away.
He's serious about this.
He's so serious.
We need to
this
start making
to happen.
We need to start making money off of our script ideas. Everyone just comes to us.
Vanessa Hudgens, y'all.
I already have my number.
Let's guess the
bucks.
Net worth of Vanessa Hudgens. Co-producer of The Christmas Prince. The Night Before Christmas, rather.
Whatever the budget of this movie was, that's how much she cost.
That was all her money.
All of her money.
She put it all into this.
All right, Adam, what's your guess?
I'm saying she's worth $20 million, so I'm going 8.25 Vanessa Hudgens to get to Drew Carey. Yep.
Wow.
Nick, what say you?
$20 million. I think she's worth $1.5 million.
Ooh.
All right, that would put her at 110 Vanessa's to get to one Drew Carey.
Sure.
And I'm going to go somewhere in the ballpark of five, so let's say 33 Vanessa Hudgens to get to one Drew Carey. And let's take a look at what it is. Actual net worth of the star of The Night Before Christmas, Vanessa Hudgens. Wow. When you know it. $14 million.
Whoa.
That means wow. Adam Hall, you just won this week's edition of How Many Drew Careys?
I often end up guessing how much I want them to be worth.
I thought they've earned. I thought I was way too high on that. I was like, there's no way I'm getting this.
Well, you were a little high, I mean, but.
Yeah, but not like. That much off. I mean, you guys like seriously underestimated good old Vanessa.
Certainly. And I will never do it again, by the way.
You bastard.
Did her nude photos increase her net worth?
Oh, no.
That's just a legitimate question.
I don't think the legal fees surrounding that did her any good.
I think it's likely.
I think she had
I'm saying, but she was talked about. I mean, being talked about has an influence on your net worth.
Sure.
Fair point. Yes. Gentlemen, this has been a roller coaster of a podcast.
Oh, yeah.
That's a great way to kick off the Christmas season, though.
Oh, by the way, I didn't even mention this. Holy shit.
Uh-oh.
I had this note. You guys, I believe, both missed a major Easter egg in The Night Before Christmas.
What was it?
So, the aunt, or I guess the sister of Vanessa Hudgens, at one point is speaking to her daughter. And shows her an ornament of an acorn. Did you catch this?
No.
Yes.
Oh.
And says, this is a family heirloom. Your grandparents got this on their visit to Aldovia.
Oh, my God.
She did not say that.
That was a line in the movie, and you guys both missed it.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Wait, your grandparents?
What? Yes.
Wait a minute.
Yes.
How does that logic play out?
I don't know. I'm not sure if that is the acorn. It may just be an acorn, and they just sell them at Aldovian gift shops. But The Night Before Christmas takes place in the same universe as The Christmas Prince. That is a fact.
Wow.
Which
Holy
means
shit.
Time travel does exist in the universe of A Christmas Prince. Which means we may get some time travel in Christmas Prince Part 3, which we will be talking about in 2 weeks on this very podcast, Christmas Prince the Royal Baby.
Is that out on Netflix yet? When is that coming out?
I believe this week.
It needs to be out, like now. I need to watch it.
It will be competing with Marriage Story this weekend on Netflix.
Man.
I'm going to have to add Christmas Prince to my list as well. Holy shit.
So there you go, man.
Holy shit. I'm excited. Adam, wait, have you not watched Christmas Prince?
Oh, no. I've seen the other two Christmas Prince movies. I'm talking about the third movie.
You confused me. I was worried.
It's got to compete with John Wick Chapter 3, but we'll see.
That's a very tough competition. They're very...
I know.
Close in my heart.
Are they
films?
Are they?
Yeah.
All right.
All right. Well, Merry Christmas, y'all. Happy holidays. Put up your stockings.
There you go.
Make your gingerbread houses and all that shit.
Next week, we're talking Last Christmas. Go see it in a theater if you are so inclined.
Amelia
Listen to
Clark.
Our review here. Amelia Clark. Mm-hmm.
Significantly better than she was in Solo.
I believe that.
I hated her in Solo.
Did you?
Right. I hated her in Solo. Oh my god.
Yeah, I didn't like her either in that.
And then Cats Around the Corner, Christmas Prince 3. I mean, really, this is your one-stop shop for all the greatness that Hollywood has to offer.
This might be the best month we've ever done.
I can't
wait. This legitimately might be the best month of podcasting we're going to have.
This is a blast.
I can't wait for Cats, though, guys. You have no idea. Holy shit. I totally forgot that we were actually going to do that.
That is going to be a hell of an outing. Nick will be in town, too, so that'll be a whole lot of fun. Wataddy's coming very soon. 200th episode coming very soon. Hopefully we can call Zach one of these days and get him on the pod.
Yeah, I hope so.
It'll be good.
That'd be great.
All right, that's it. I love you also very, very much. Adam and I will be doing an Irishman podcast as well. Stay tuned on your podcast feeds. We'll be there talking Irishman if you had the time to watch it.
Yes, which we know you didn't. It's okay.
It's all right.
You can't make the 3-hour commitment. I doubt you'll be able to make the 2-hour commitment to that podcast as well. So
until next time, y'all have been so very, very naughty.
Naughty.